Okay. We'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It is August 13th at 5:20 p.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Weigle.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on July 23rd, quite some time ago, 5:15 p.m. Were there any changes or corrections that need to take place? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Okay.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is follow-up on ordinance violation. Larry, I see you're here. If you wouldn't mind stepping up to the microphone. Appreciate that. As all of us will remember, Larry had a lot of ordinance violations at his property, and we had asked him to come back and basically talk about maybe the improvements that he's made since that time and what he's done up to that point in time. And we'd said we'd come back and basically review it. So Larry is here with us, and I know you have some pictures in your Dropbox. Larry, do you want to start, or do you want to talk about what's in each of the pictures?
I will make one comment for those pictures. Most of that you don't see from the street. You don't see it at all unless you're clear up in behind by the house. It's not something that's visible as those pictures are showing, just to passers by.
Okay. Okay, so it's in the ordinance violations folder. Walt, did you find it? Okay. And what we'll just do is we'll just go down the list of pictures, and Larry can kind of tell you maybe any improvements he's made with each of those, as well as potentially what some of the stuff is for, because we may not remember from the last time. So,
well, I do small extension work and lawnmower repair, amongst other things, and these are things I use right along. For parts, for to repair, to resell, and like I say, it's all confined down right here in front of the building. Plenty of yard out here. There's nothing out here. Over in the back, over here, it's all right by the barn, and pretty much out of sight.
Okay. Okay.
I see you have to be right up in the driveway, down from the street. Because this is all pretty much blocked from the south, and you have to be right down in front in the driveway to see any of that, to any big degree.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mayor. Are you start at the top of the list?
Which
is
we'll start at the top of the list.
Is that where the Case tractor is?
Yes. Picture number 8.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. So do you want to say anything else about this number?
Was there a question?
No, I think what we'll just do is go through those pictures and you can explain the stuff and we can go from there.
Okay.
Or if there's any questions they can ask and such. Okay. Okay, so picture 9.
This is right in front of the building. These are parts mowers, repairable mowers, just spare parts.
And that's the stuff that you do.
That I do.
Is that you fix the mowers.
And I'm moving stuff around and it does change. I don't look at it, but it does.
Okay. And if there's any improvements you've made on these pictures, just let you know. Go
okay.
Ahead and
I have a little bit here. This is about the same situation.
Picture 10. So the next picture.
This is behind wood. It's clear down behind. You don't see it unless you're right down in the driveway. I've got it pretty much blocked. And like I said, this is garden stakes. I am working at this a little bit. This is the
that
bench. Is going
bench
to
on the far left side of the picture.
And a couple of mowers I'm going to move. Try to maybe move these up a little closer or something.
Okay. Okay, next picture.
Same situation. That's right in front of the barn. That's at the end of there. And like I say, instead of having it all strung out and scattered out, I try to keep it condensed.
Now, Larry, obviously there's been a couple of these tractors, these actual farm tractors that we've seen. What do you use those for? Because obviously that's against the
They're not farm machinery. They're collectible antique equipment.
Okay.
But, you know, that's That's two different things. And I happen to collect tractors. And these are in the process, this one runs, and I'm in the process of getting the other to run.
Okay.
So.
And then what will you do after you get them to run?
Well, it's just a hobby. I show over and what have you.
Okay.
And,
okay. Anything else on that picture?
No, and okay. See, that's right down in front of the barn, too. That's, they're not out in the yard where they're really visible.
Okay.
And this does run.
Yeah, okay. Picture 12, next picture.
Well, that's just kind of an extension of the one before.
Now you told me, Larry, that the wood pieces, that you use that as firewood, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's,
yes.
So the wood itself is actually used within his home. Right?
And okay. It serves another purpose in kind of long cycle.
Okay. And you had said that with the snow shovels, you use those in the winter, right? Okay. Go to the next picture.
I have to shovel to the wood pile.
Right. I understand. Okay. Next picture looks like mainly wood piles, although there is some debris over here in the front type portion.
See,
there.
That's all. This is all wood. Mm-hmm. And there's wood all here. There's a little other there, but it's all sealed by the wood.
Okay.
And again, this you can't see unless you're right down here in the driveway.
Okay.
Don't show, the wood shows from the street.
Mm-hmm.
And not really, now it doesn't even. But there's a little bit of, in the winter, the wood will show.
The wood doesn't show from the street because the leaves are.
But the wood will kind of show in the winter.
In the winter. Okay. But, and the wood, I don't think we necessarily have a problem. I don't think that's part of it.
See, the evergreens here, and they block all the rest of them, and they don't lose their leaves by green all winter long.
Okay. Next picture is 14. There's those handlebars.
And see, that's clear down here in the driveway. And those I use all the time.
Those are part of
my repair
business. Repair work, yeah. Okay. Next picture.
That's just the
that's kind of from another angle.
Right here.
Uh-huh.
That's the garden stakes. And this is coming right back around where we were that other picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I say, this is all pretty much blocked.
Number 16, you said you got rid of the blue car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's gone. And then the right vehicle, that truck, is actually the truck you drive, right?
That isn't.
That one isn't?
No.
No, okay.
That's going to be a different story.
Oh, okay.
See, this is some of the stuff that I had, I said it might be man. It's outside.
Okay. So, you're saying in this vehicle or in another vehicle?
Yeah, here, but I had to take it out to get rid of this one.
Okay, so you took the stuff that's in the middle there out of the blue vehicle.
Yeah, and
okay.
This is, well, except for the snowblower. That's my snowblower.
Yeah. Well, okay. Go to 17. There's a bench and some wood and stuff.
That's just at the edge there, and that's all sealed by the evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
And there, like I say, green year round.
And are you still working on those mowers in the
yes.
back there? So that's all stuff that you're working
yes.
on. Okay.
And this is.
No, sorry. Go ahead. We'll go back.
This is firewood here.
Yep. Okay. And that you said is that one of the wheelbarrows
yes.
that you use?
Yes.
Okay. We'll go to number 18.
And this is right there, just right on the bench.
Okay. So these are both of these things are connected through the mowers themselves. And, okay. Number 19.
And this is just down at the edge here. That's a wheelbar. I've got wood on.
Wheelbarrow there. Okay.
There is a bench there.
Uh-huh.
But,
and are you going to be doing something with that bench, or is that just kind of something that you're
just kind of there for an ornament to set on? Whatever.
Okay. Okay. So
and
you actually use that at some point? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, the evergreens are behind that. So then there's quite a bit of space before you get to the other shrubbery mm-hmm. in the street. So it's all blocked unless you're right down in the driveway.
Okay. And then number 20. And that's from the road there.
Yeah, these are kind of mowers when they're ready to sell.
So those are ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ready to be sold
yeah.
to somebody.
Yeah, you kind of keep changing.
And how do you sell those?
Just make a word of mouth.
By word of mouth? Okay, so if someone says, hey, I need a mower, and you say,
hey,
I'll
say, hey, friend of mine, got a mower from you.
Yeah.
You got any? Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Now I should mention, Board, Dan, you were there, Nicole, Councilwoman Penrod was there, that we did have a meeting on the southeast side of the city, and I should mention that there were, I guess, many individuals there that had mentioned that they weren't bothered by Larry or his property. I think based on our ordinances, and we, I've talked to Larry about this multiple times, our ordinances do say that the that some of the issues that are on his property are ordinance violations. That is a part of our ordinances. But I think some things that Larry has shared with me, there are some other things that are happening that he doesn't really want to talk about here in public, but that are kind of taking away his time from taking care of this property itself. And then also, Larry, if it's okay, if I mention it, Larry doesn't have the best health in the world either. So I'm not sure exactly what your thoughts, opinions, questions are. I'd entertain those. I know that there's some individuals from Larry's neck of the woods that are here that were actually at that southeast side meeting. And so I guess I just open it up to the board to ask questions of Larry, and then we can kind of work our way through that. So if you have questions or comments.
I guess I don't really have questions. I'm just, this okay. is just another one of those issues. You can weigh back and forth. The neighbors clearly are not complaining about the situation, but yet for our ordinance, it is a violation for our ordinances. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you, how do you draw the line in this situation when it clearly is? I mean, why do we have ordinances in the first place and we can't afford to enforce them? But at the same time, here's a situation where, the neighbors aren't the ones complaining. Part of me is, I'm just thinking that nobody's really upset with the situation. Yeah. We let it go, or do you just play by what rules we have and go with that? I don't know. Just kind of stuck here.
Mm-hmm. Chief, is there any citations been issued?
For this property?
Yes.
No, I don't believe the citation's been issued. It's been ongoing, obviously, for months. And
right.
I guess my comment would be, obviously, you guys understand that we deal with these on two different fronts, whether it's a complaint by a neighbor or another citizen, or part of that officer's job is to, he patrols and finds these on his own. That's what's happened here. And I guess my opinion is that, as it's presented, it's in violation of the ordinance, obviously, and I feel like we give an ample time to be in compliance with the ordinance.
I think one thing that's important, like I said earlier, I think one thing that's important to note here is that, Larry, with kind of Larry's health issues a little bit, it's very difficult for him to, when it's extremely warm or when it's extremely cold, for him to be able to work on the property itself. Now, that doesn't mean that we haven't had a wonderful string of days available, but like I said, there's some other things that are in the works here. I guess I'd like to throw out an idea to the Board of Works and see what your opinion is on it. I know that Larry is, like I said, I know that Larry is trying to do his business and trying to work on multiple different things. I think because of Larry's health issues, I'd like to at least offer the idea of maybe granting some kind of a variance for Larry because of his health, and potentially, I should mention, not specifically regarding any health or safety issues that could occur in the future. I think obviously our goal is to encourage Larry to not let the property go any more than what it already has. But I guess I wonder if maybe we could grant a health variance of sorts for Larry in the situation that he has as an option. Just throw that out as something to ponder. So.
Kind of in line with that, you guys, again, had a meeting with the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. No complaints. Violation of the city ordinance is in violation. You are on the edge of town. You're almost in the country. I mean, I've got a little bit different twist, but I'm just thinking, if there's no complaints, just leave it alone. But if there's a complaint ever filed there, then action would have to be taken. And what I'm saying by that is, the fire department has an ordinance that says there's no burning in town, okay? But if the neighbors are having a picnic and have a fire in their backyard burning hot dogs, and it's a nuisance to the neighbor, the fire department will go put that fire out. Okay, see what I'm trying to relate to is, all it takes is one neighbor to complain, then that would generate the initiative to enforce the ordinance to be complied with. In a variance, I'm not sure if it's a variance or an exception.
I use that word just as a...
You've lived there many years. Your neighbors have been with you many years. I'm not saying ignore the ordinance, but I think maybe we can just use a gentleman's agreement here that we'll leave it alone unless there's an official complaint from one of your neighbors.
I do try to keep it as neat as I possibly can.
And I understand that, because if we have to enforce the ordinance, Larry, it would be tough on everybody, okay? We have been flexible with our ordinance before. We've been creative with it before.
I appreciate that.
Okay? I'm just throwing my thoughts out here, okay? I mean, it's a board decision, but... and I guess I asked legal for any advice if we're... Oh, sorry, Marcia, I didn't... I'll give you time to finish there, but...
No, you're fine. You can definitely grant a hardship.
Okay.
But I do want to make one mention, though. I think what is important to note is that there's a lot of mitigating factors that go into this situation. A lot more than what most places have. You know, Walt mentioned some of them. I mentioned some of them. And so I just want to be clear that this is not necessarily a golden ticket for anybody that ever gets an ordinance violation to come and say, well, here's my hardship kind of situation. Because I don't think that's the case here. I really, truly don't. I think there's a lot of mitigating factors that go into this every day, or go into this situation today. And so I guess the only place I struggle with is setting a precedent. I don't want to set a precedent that anybody who now gets an ordinance violation can come in and say, well, I have a hardship for this reason or this reason or this reason. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this, and I think Larry does have somewhat of a hardship in regards to this. And that's why I'm at least... somewhat able to entertain that kind of thought.
I agree with that. I mean, just, you know, we follow everything to the law, but you got to take in the situations as well.
I agree. And
I can live with that. Understanding where he's coming from, a lot of other things going on.
Chief,
I guess my comment would be. I'm also concerned about precedent. If this is a hardship, you know, with some mitigating factors, I understand that. I think it needs to be on a case-by-case basis. But I wonder what happens if, you know, because this, we've had numerous properties in town where this officer has gone out himself to, you know, start that violation process. And what happens with the rest of those from this point on? Are we setting a precedent, or are we using this as a, you know, if it's a hardship issue or mitigating circumstances, I think that's one thing.
For every situation that we've come across so far, we've taken in the extenuating circumstances and tried to be as
fair
as what we possibly can with each situation. I know we had one a while back, and the only explanation for not mowing was he got busy. It wasn't, you know, that's not, in my opinion, was a strong enough case to not get it, you know, taken care of. And that's what my other problem with letting it go completely is what happens when we do have this another incident.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure will, if there's some out
there. I'm sure there will be.
Is there a way to, I understand, we don't want to categorize this or put a title to it, in my mind, because that's what again, once you start that hardship definition, then you'll have what's the definition for the next hardship and the next hardship. I'm suggesting just leave it as is unless we have an official complaint. We don't have an official complaint, we just have an ordinance violation. And Larry, your neighbors aren't complaining. Okay? I'm just saying all it takes is one to complain.
And then we're back here.
Then we're back here, and then we will have to address, because we will have to take a different point of view. That's just my thought.
I guess my question is, does that affect our whole department? And do we need a complaint to enforce ordinances now, or do we enforce them?
My answer, Chief, would be...
Officer discretion as we come across them.
My answer, Chief, would be no. I don't think that we have to have a complaint to do that. I think, like I said, I think the point that I'm trying to express, and it sounds like that Walt's trying to express, and Dan, is that there's a lot of factors that go into this, and it makes this situation special. And I understand the point of, well, every case is going to be special. I absolutely understand that. And I think we've tried to treat every case as being special in some way, shape,
horses,
or form.
Chickens.
Exactly. To try to work, first of all, we always try to work with the people, work with the individuals that have the ordinance violation, and try to give them plenty of ample time to clean up their property. This is clear that Larry's property is probably one of the... You wouldn't say worst properties. I would say one of the unique properties. That's a good way of putting it. But as you said the last time, Larry, it's been 30 years that you've been collecting this stuff onto your property.
Doing what I do.
Exactly. And again, that's another thing. What you do in regards to those lawnmowers and your health and all that stuff that goes into it, I think makes this a special situation.
Adds to the other.
Well, and again, that's why if individuals hear the board is saying, from what I'm hearing at least, the board is saying this is not something that's going to be normal. This is not something that we're going to do for everybody. This is merely one situation that we're trying to handle in this matter.
Gentleman's had this stuff in place for a period of time, he has, and all of a sudden now we come by and say, well, you can't do that anymore. I personally have a little problem with that. You know, if it was a violation in 2013, why wasn't it a violation in 2007 or 2000 or whatever?
It was. We just didn't enforce it.
That's why I'm struggling with his situation as well, and now all of a sudden we're going, you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing to know, Larry, we're not going to close our eyes and walk away. We will still ask our ordinance officer to do his job, okay? And he did his job, and he did it very well. We're just trying to work with you and your neighbors, okay?
I'm not planning on expanding it, so.
Right, and as long as you're not planning on expanding it or seeing anything else deteriorate more than it is, you know, it's just because all the stuff that you have is outside.
Yeah.
If it was inside, we probably wouldn't even be talking about it. Okay. But that's where some of the violations, and again, we've been through all that.
I wish it could all be inside. I really do.
Sure.
But some circumstances have just kind of prevented that from happening.
Well, and plus it's the nature of your occupation.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that and respect that. And being, again, I think location has a big influence of some of the discussion because you are on the very edge.
I have a rural route.
Okay.
I don't even have a city address.
And you are kind of isolated, okay, in your own area.
Yeah.
Again, the ordinance says one thing and we're trying to compromise in another, okay?
I appreciate that.
But I also think we're putting our ordinance officer in a tough spot.
I know we are.
Um,
We're putting our chief in a tough spot.
Right. That's another thing that's bothering me about this situation, because, you know, now what do they do? You know, how do they pick and choose? I mean, it's not a pick and choose. You're either in violation or you're not. I mean, it's more black and white than that. So now how does he go about enforcing this ordinance?
Well, I will say there are other properties that we have addressed, you know, scrap and junk vehicles and all kinds of different things, you know, in the past, you know, 8 months. Some of them have been by complaint, some of them have been because the officer, and it's not just one officer, there are multiple officers that our job is to enforce state statute and city ordinance. That's what we do. And we enforce them the way they're written in the books. So I understand this is different than what we've done before. Yeah, I think we need to continue to enforce them as they're written, and then case by case basis, if the board decides to, you know, take into account special circumstances, and I understand that.
Larry, I hope that you understand where we're coming from, is that we're trying to be understanding of your whole situation. At the same time, we're also put in a very difficult position because our ordinances are very black and white about, well, for the most part, black and white about this situation. And so by us making a decision to go this way, I mean, we are effectively saying for some circumstances, not all, I would say not for most, but for a few circumstances, there are times that the Board of Works are going to say, for lack of better words, we're not going to enforce that in this situation.
I appreciate it.
So that's why, but I just want you to know why we're agonizing over this decision, because it's not something we take lightly, and it's not something that we do often, or at all, for that matter.
I think we've talked about this, but if this is your resource of income, if the ordinance is enforced, that would jeopardize your income. True?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Again, another weighing factor. And Chief, I totally respect your opinion and Pete's. I said, you guys have done a great job bringing this to our attention. But I think we also have a duty to work with the community and our residents, trying not to make a hardship situation or again, been here for 30 years and, I wish there was a way to make an exception or to notch you out to make sure that you're in the county. But, you know, it's not reality. But I think we need to work together of trying to fix this, not fix it, but again, make it tolerable for all. Now, when did you originally move into your facility?
78.
And the ordinance was written in 1980?
68. The ordinance was 68.
68?
Hasn't it ever changed in
68? I'm sure the ordinance have been reviewed. I don't know. I can't tell you how many times a revision.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, again, as we've talked about in the past, the Ordinance Review Committee is looking at those ordinances as we currently speak, but that hasn't taken place yet. And that is, and I should mention, that ordinance changes, anything like that, actually falls on the council. That doesn't fall on the Board of Works. The Board of Works is merely the enforcement agency or the enforcement organization that takes care of that. So,
the timing is still unable to exempt it. Mm-hmm. is what I'm working up to, because it happened after the first ordinance was written. So there's not a way to exempt. I was just looking for another avenue. So
Do you have anything else?
Well, I mean, I think I'm repeating things, but Walt said something earlier, and I think you need to go back to that. I mean, this is still an ordinance violation. You're just, you're basically looking at the situation in totality, and you feel there's a hardship that allows you to, or supports putting the violation on ice, unless there are complaints or health and safety violations that arise. So it's not that it's not a violation. You know, it's still an ordinance violation. You're just, you know, setting it there, and if something else arises, then they may have to go ahead and go back and say, hey, you're going to have to clean this up. So I think that's, I just want to bring back in the health and safety part of this, not just complaints, but because there could be other issues that could arise.
And the health and safety would be related to rodents or, you know, animals or whatever it could be.
If there's any kind of health and safety, yeah. I mean, if there's any kind of anything that posed a health or safety issue for Larry or for anybody on the property, that would be a completely separate issue, yes.
Right.
Yes. Do you want to make that motion?
Sure. Chief, do you have anything else?
No.
You okay? Well, I would like to make a motion that we allow Larry to continue as is, knowing that you are in violation and the city knows that you're in violation, but we're willing to work with you to leave things as is unless there is a complaint or a health and safety issue that would occur on your property. And if that would occur, then you would be notified of the violation or the unsafe act or whatever issue may be, and then we would address it at that time. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Do you have a comment? I didn't mean to stop you.
No. I just appreciate, you know, that's something.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is the school resource officer discussion. Do you want to pass that and go to fireworks first, and then we'll come back?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. We'll talk about the school resource officer. I asked him to bring this up because there's been some discussion between the school corporation and the city. Recently, there was an article in the paper about Cherubusco and their situation potentially with school resource officers. So I asked him, and I see Tony's here. I don't know if that's the reason why he's here, just for fun. but I asked him to kind of comment and kind of let you know what's happening and the idea of what a school resource officer is and things to that effect. So I hope I didn't steal your thunder there.
Oh, no, I'll try to make this brief. I think everybody's aware that we've had some ongoing discussions with the superintendent and myself about the school resource officer. So I'll talk just briefly about the history and kind of how that started. But in 2012, I had talked with the principal at the high school briefly about, you know, what are the chances about having a school resource officer. And we really tried to have an increased police presence in the schools here in town with the officers that are on duty. Making a point for them to be at the school almost on a daily basis whenever it was possible, because that was a priority for us. And then in 2013, we started to meet with the safety team for the corporation, and we reviewed all the safety and crisis plans for each school in the corporation, and then also law enforcement members, we were able to walk through all 7 schools and then review the crisis plans with all the principals and the safety team. And we really gained a lot of knowledge from that, and it was a joint venture, and it really really went well. And during those meetings and walkthroughs and things like that, the SRO had come up, and I looked before to see kind of who, what other departments or corporations had SROs, and basically we were surrounded by counties that have SROs, Huntington County, Kosciuszko County, Noble County, Allen County. Smith Green's got one. So the discussion started, and the superintendent and I began to have meetings to discuss, you know, kind of how that would work for possibly the corporation along with our department. So there's been multiple meetings. Again, we're still in the, I guess, talking phase, trying to figure out what that looks like and what that means for us. I want to talk a little bit about what is an SRO, because I think there's some misconceptions out there. A lot of people feel like it's just a kind of a security guard that walks around the school, and that's what this person would do. I would tell you, my feeling is that's a very small part of what that job is. I think the bigger part of that job is building relationships with students, staff, teachers, administrators, parents, things like that, and through building those relationships, and that's how we really make a difference in the schools. So obviously an SRO would be a sworn law enforcement officer, and he would have to keep his training and certifications and things up, just like any other police officer would. And he would provide, you know, law enforcement and police services to the school, so he could investigate criminal activity or complaints that would come through the school system. And then through that, they find through studies that there's a reduction of rule violations and crime at the school because of these programs. He'd also work to prevent juvenile delinquency, again through those close and positive relationships with students and staff. And then this person also acts as a mentor and a role model and a counselor when needed as well. We'll establish and maintain a close partnership with school administrators, so with principals, superintendent, the safety team, in order to provide a safe school environment. And also can teach students on their rights and responsibilities to be, you know, lawful citizens. And an SRO can also be on the school safety committee. We have a district committee here for the corporation, and they talk about safety practices and procedures for each school. They have monthly meetings to constantly revisit safety protocol and procedures. And then also SROs are law-related teachers, so they also teach classes in the schools. And it can be anything from drug and alcohol awareness, bullying. There's now state law on bullying. The school systems have to be involved in. Also, we need to be involved in statutes with bullying. They can also deal with issues like social media and give classes on internet safety, social media, things like that. So obviously there's a lot of things going on here, but I just want people to know that it's a lot more than just a police officer with a uniform on walking around the school waiting for something bad to happen. Obviously it can be a deterrent for, you know, possible violent acts in the buildings, but there's so much more to it than what some people think. Some of the benefits from the program could be obviously a structured partnership with the school corporation, relationships with students, staff, and parents, enhancement in security, coordination of services, and I kind of think of that as if a student has an issue over the weekend, maybe he's in a fight or has a domestic situation at home, and that student can go to the police officer at the school and talk about what's happened, and then that police officer can recommend different services for, you know, those youth as they need different services. It can promote a positive image of uniform law enforcement officers in the eyes of the students. That's always a good thing for us. If we can put ourselves out there in a positive light for students and staff and parents, that's a great thing. Like I said, it can also educate students through teaching and their responsibilities as lawful citizens. And I think this exhibits a proactive and a good collaboration between, you know, the police department and the school corporation for overall school safety. I talked a little bit about the other established programs. I called some other police departments just to kind of figure out, you know, how long they've had their program up and running, how many SROs they have, and I have those numbers if you guys would like to see them sometime. But Southwest Allen County has one, Northwest Allen County has one, Warsaw has one SRO, but they're putting a second full-time SRO on for this coming school year. And Warsaw has had an SRO program for 13 years. Bluffton has a full-time SRO. They've had a program for 10 years. Smith Green had one. Last year was their first year for Smith Green. Huntington also has one full-time SRO, and they've had a program for 12 years. So basically, at these meetings, I think we'll continue discussions and see how we can pursue this. I'm sure you guys are aware that Senate Bill 1 has passed state legislation, which allows each school corporation to apply to the state for a matching grant. And that grant can be used for to pay for an SRO or to get a safety assessment done for the corporation and also to buy safety needs or equipment. So that's the reason that that grant is important, because the school corporation can put in for that to receive matching pay from the state. And the application for the grant actually opened on August 1st, just a few days ago, and I think that goes on through November. So that's basically what I've got on SRO and kind of where we are up to today. So I'm happy to answer any questions the best that I can.
Questions about SRO?
Like you say, if we do go with something like this, that would take one of our officers off the road for the school system, or is that going to have to hire somebody else? Or?
Well, and we haven't got quite that far yet. My feeling would be, I can show you our schedule with all the vacation days and stuff and training days and personal days we have to cover. My feeling would be it would fill this position from a person that's on our department now, and then we would post a new hiring to fill that position. But again, we haven't quite got that far yet. Just trying to sort this out and see what it means for us.
And being part of that, you would be the whole corporation, right? I mean, it'd be the middle schools and the high school. I mean.
Right, it would be the whole corporation, although through talking with the superintendent, her and I both agree that the priority should be the high school age kids, which, you know, since both those schools are here in town between Eagle Tech and the high school, that would be the priority. There would be maybe some times that this officer would need to go deal with a situation somewhere else, but I think most of the time would be spending time with the high school age kids.
I think the hope is that, Chief, that you'll be bringing a MOU to us potentially at the next meeting, or?
Yeah, what needs to happen for the grant, for the corporation to apply for the grant from the state? There needs to be a memo of understanding between the two entities, between the city and the corporation. So we're working on that, trying to get a draft of that ready so it can be reviewed by the board. I'd like to get you that as soon as possible. But that memo of understanding needs to be signed and agreed upon before they can apply for the grant or submit their package to the state.
I'll let you know that Chief and I have worked, Chief much more than I have for the record, but Chief and I have worked pretty closely with the superintendent to try to find a good package deal for both entities that provides the safety and security and all the qualities that Tim talked about for the school corporation, as well as being fair and equitable to the city and to the city taxpayers. And I know that one of the questions that typically comes up, and I know we haven't necessarily talked about money yet, that'll be a part of the MOU, but one of the questions that typically comes up is, well, if this SRO is going to be working at Quessy or Little Turtle or ISMS or these other Northern Heights, these other places that are outside the city, why isn't the county not being a part of this package or this funding package, whatever? I think the important part to know is that when the SRO is on school time, they're on school time. And the school corporation is obviously funded by taxpayers. And so the school corporation, in regards to that, you know, will be using the officer as they see fit and will be paying for such. Whereas when that officer is on city time, the city will be paying for that. So we're trying to strike a good balance with the school corporation so that they're served, but at the same time, there's an understanding that we're losing an officer because of that. And how do we manage that. So a lot more of those details will come out, I think, with the MOU. I think, is that right, Chief?
Yeah, with the MOU, it basically spells out a lot of different things that need to be covered, but the funding would be one thing that would be in the MOU. Things like vacation time, extracurricular activities, a lot of things that would be rolled into that MOU. That would be a lot more detailed than what I talked about tonight. But.
Yep. Okay. Anything else? Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Chief. Appreciate that. Fireworks, Mr. Magoo, you're up.
I brought up to the mayor's attention that if we're going to have the fall festival with fireworks, I did not know if the Board of Works would want to allow the citizens to be able to shoot fireworks off for that time frame. And if so, you would have to add that into your additional days for fireworks. And so I just brought it to his attention and thought I'd throw it out to you this evening. So
we did that last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but last year was a different circumstance because we didn't have 4th of July.
Right.
And I think last year the council approved the Board of Works to be able to appoint special days. Is that what you're talking about, Tom?
Correct.
The special days for our citizens to be able to shoot off fireworks.
I'm not suggesting that we do that. I'm just throwing it out there. If you want them to be legally allowed to do so, you'd have to go start the process.
My
personal feeling is let them come to the fall festival and enjoy the fireworks at the festival, not at home. So it's a one day event, right? Basically.
Really? Yeah.
That's my thought. So.
Dan. Okay. That's fine. I then we will just have fireworks at the fall festival. Okay. Good. I'm sure that takes a little heat off of some of our departments have to handle that.
We normally get a lot of complaints when fireworks start flying around the town. So.
Well, and I should mention, if you look in our, I should say this, if you look in our ordinance, you'll find there's actually a lot more days than just around 4th of July that people are actually allowed to shoot off fireworks in the city. I think if I remember right, I think Labor Day is one of them, and Labor Day weekend, I think, is one of them, and New Year's is one of them. And so, I mean, if you look at our ordinances, there's a lot of dates that people are allowed to shoot off fireworks.
May I suggest that, Nicole, can you please look at our ordinance for dates, available dates of shooting fireworks, so that we don't say some dates in this meeting that may not be accurate.
Oh, I must have said something that wasn't accurate.
It's under the City of Columbia City. If you go under the city ordinances, it's under the 9-4. It's under general regulations 9-4 points.
We'll get you the code. We'll get you the code. Can one of you look that up? Our fireworks or as the dates that they can shoot that up. That'll just, we'll give you the shortcut because our friends at the press, we always like to keep them happy. So.
Well, I probably got some trash.
Yeah, I can get that. I know what our website is. You?
They're going to take it. Well, somebody's going to take care of it. Oh, okay.
Bob.
I'm sorry.
That's Chief's getting that.
He's pulling. We have lots of guys on it right now, so somebody will be able to get you the right code.
We have a race going on.
Okay, so we'll move on then. So I guess from what I'm hearing, it's official that fireworks will only be the commercial fireworks at the park. Is it commercial? And what are the fireworks at the park called? Commercial grade? Industrial?
Yes. The ones that we are illegal to shoot off are the consumer grade fireworks. Okay. You're doing a public display, and there had to be a permit issued for this. So those are.
I give up.
So only the ones that are shot at the park is what's legitimate for that weekend and
correct.
That night.
Yes. And those were under permit by the state.
Yes, correct. And we did get a permit already done for that. Okay, we'll move on to the south side. Stormwater improvements. Jeff, good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. As we started working with GAI on the design for the new stormwater project in the southwest quadrant, what we found was that there were some sanitary sewers that weren't properly connected, and took a step back and looked at what it would take to make the project move forward and still get these sewers in compliance, because we were looking at sanitary versus our project scope was stormwater. And to do it feasibly, what it amounts to is that we need an 8-inch sewer extension, sanitary sewer, not storm, sanitary sewer along Vine Street between Oak and South Elm Street. The way that the utilities are laid out in that area, the only place that can be placed feasibly is where there is currently a 1-inch water main supplying service to some of the residences down there. So Mark Jesse from GAI worked with Mike Deere to see how that we could create a project that would be beneficial to and serve the property owners down there in the best way for both sanitary sewer and the domestic water, and tie that in with our stormwater project. And to do that, it would require a 6-inch ductile iron water main that would also extend that same block. And what Mike would like to do is to take and come off of the hydrant that's at South Elm and Vine and stub over across to the south side of the street, set a valve, and then as part of the project, the 6-inch ductile would go on up and run and take care of the services for the properties along there. There's quite a bit of work to this. It's not only just the design of the sanitary and the water main, but it also requires IDEM permits for both of them because we're changing the characteristics of the system. And then they'll also be going back into the specifications that we've got for the stormwater and add the sanitary and the water as well. So I'd ask GAI to put together what the requirements would be to take care of the design on this. And it comes up to an increase in the project cost of $19,600. It would bring it from short side of $140,000 to just shy of $160,000. And I'm here tonight to request approval from the board to move forward with this. As it stands, I'll remind you that we're looking at spring for proposed
construction.
Bid date,
yep.
Construction, pending board approval. And so we've got some time here, but we'd like to get moving forward.
Now, these improvements are going to also improve the service to some of those houses?
Yes.
Yep.
This one, I think, probably also, it's not only going to benefit them with their domestic water service and pressure, but just the system right down there. So.
However, we have money available to do that.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yep.
Kind of also improve your fire service as well, right?
Or,
I think a larger main.
Yeah.
Right. So your public safety would enhance.
I guess what I would say is that obviously this is going to be, yes, it is an increase in cost, but it's also a pretty comprehensive improvement to that area, and it's going to be part of our project anyways. If we're going to do it right, we should do it.
Right.
And so, that's my opinion. Do you have any other questions or comments? I don't want to rush, but I mean, this seems very cut and dry to me. So
you need to have my motion.
Yeah.
I make a motion that we accept the recommendation to allow an increase of $19,600 to the original contract, not to exceed a lump sum of $159,000 for the total project.
Okay. So that is a motion to approve Amendment 1 of our Southside Stormwater Improvements Project engineering contract with GAI.
That is correct.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions?
Mayor, I might ask that.
Yes.
I'd ask Marsha also to look at it, which she has. And the numbers in here jive exactly with the original contract.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Plus one. Okay, very good. Bills? Everyone had a chance to look at the bills as we frantically go over to them as normal. And anybody have any questions about the bills? Okay. Hearing none, and I want to always try to make sure this is right, but hearing none, I will make a motion that we approve the bills in the amount of $833,915.74. Is that the right number? That's what I see on my... Yeah, I swear every time I make a motion in regards to the bills, for some reason, I get a different number than what you guys have, even though it's the same bills that we're looking at. Okay. What does yours show?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I go back to, I don't know where I'm getting the same as that amount. Oh, okay. Okay. It pulled up a wrong check. It pulled up a check run from 7.
Oh.
That's why. I will amend my motion to the grand total of $740,967.63. Yeah, I know.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous, and I'm never going to make a motion on bills again. I'm going to let you guys do that.
That's recorded.
Department head reports. We'll start with Mark.
I wanted to just state the pool is shut down with school starting. I think that there was some, I was asked by a lady today that read the paper that it was open to Labor Day. That's not true. So I didn't see that myself. Kind of going off someone else said.
We haven't read anything for a long time, so I don't know
where that was stated in there, but it's closed.
For good? For the season?
For
or
the season.
Okay. Well, I apologize. What I meant was for the season.
Yes.
We still have, just to be clear, we have 2014 season that will still be open in the summer, barring any catastrophic failure of equipment.
Got it. Yeah.
I guess what I was asking was, it's not going to be open during the weekends from here on out or anything like that.
No.
So it is closed for this season.
Most of our staff are high school students or college students. Many of them are going back to school very soon. So for that reason, we're just pulling staff up. But I do want to say that my staff did a great job. Phil Stanzak for managing it. We had no major injuries, no incidences, which is great every time that happens. Makes things go very smooth. The maintenance staff, Tom Renshaw and Matt Hyde, did a great job keeping it running. We passed all of our tests. They did a great job, and I appreciate all the work that they do.
Thank you.
So, one thing, Jeff.
Mark, can you do me a favor at the next Board of Works meeting, if that's enough time, and if not, that's okay, but will you report back to the Board of Works as to the amount of money in which the pool lost for this last year?
Yeah.
For this year? I mean, I'm assuming it's a net loss, because it is every year, but I think that would just be important as we move toward whatever comes of the Aquatic Facility Task Force. I think it's important for this board, as well as the City Council and, of course, the Park Board, to know where that financial statement lies in regards to these current years.
I'll send that to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then it's a good segue.
Thank you.
The Aquatics Task Force is meeting tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Councilman Hunsaker out of St. Louis and Martin Riley, engineers from Fort Wayne. Basically, they have a PowerPoint presentation. They're presenting at 3 o'clock to them to show them three different suggestions that they have for our community. For aquatic facility, so we'll be able to hear that tomorrow. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is a public meeting for anybody to come that wants to see the PowerPoint presentation and what their suggestions are. So that's tomorrow, 7 o'clock is a public meeting. 3 o'clock is the aquatic task force. Okay. This past weekend I was very busy at Morse's Park. Dan had a part in that, being on the softball committee. They had a softball tournament there. What was unique about this tournament? It was one that we actually, our community, put on ourselves, and I give all the credit to the softball committee. They worked hard. They were down there all weekend. They had 14 teams from at least three different states.
Yeah, Michigan, Ohio, as far as way at Dearborn, Michigan, Indy, South Bend. There's a great number of kids who came down to participate and highly complimented our park, the looks of the park, the way the tournament was ran. Again, compliments staff because of everything. It just was a fun weekend to be down there.
It was really neat and special to have our own tournament, and I thought that was really neat. So I want to thank them for their work. At the same time, we had the powwow going on. It was great to see us be able to pull off big events like that at the same time. I do appreciate the leniency of the powwow and working with us, and also the softball committee. We were able to work out parking. Of course, it was busy at times, but for the most part, it went really well. And just appreciate all their efforts in making that happen. This Sunday starts our co-ed softball tournament. It goes on this Sunday and the following Sunday. So we still have some softball tournaments going on Sundays. And then JFL football has started. Sixth grade practice started practicing last night. And tonight, fourth and fifth grade teams have been selected. And so we're in the process of football. We just kind of go from one sport to the other. At the last park board meeting, a decision for the shuffleboard courts was made by the park board. I just want to let you know that. They decided to eliminate the shuffleboard courts and pursue looking into more parking opportunities down there of that area. So if you were to drive into the park sometime this fall, you may see those cracked up and go on. But the whole purpose in the future is potentially for parking. We continually deal with more damage at kids' Dreamland. It's kind of become a popular hangout for kids to basically whittle away at the wooden structure and make it worse, or it's just declining in its usage. So if you ever want to take a look at that, you can go over there and find out kind of looking for yourself. But that playground was purchased by through Leathers Corporation in New York, put together as a community effort. It's been over 20 years, and I think that the average life expectancy is over 15. So we have exceeded that. I will be getting quotes for a new structure. I don't know at this point how we afford that, but if we want to continue to have a play structure there, I just think that the wooden structure is seeing its time, and so I need to start investigating some other ideas for that area. Just to kind of become not a good place to be, and somewhat unsafe, so we're taking some of the features out because we cannot replace them, and that's just due to kids vandalizing it.
And just to be clear, when we find an unsafe feature, we take it out. But I mean, it's still a safe playground per se. But we have to keep taking features out too. Yeah, and you probably get to learn some new words when you get over there, I'm guessing.
See a lot. We know what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fall Festival is September 14th. It's a Saturday, and you know you'll start seeing more information about that, whether it's through a newsletter. Or the newspaper, but we have several events planned. Most of those events start in the afternoon and go through 9:30 at night, fireworks ending it. Some concerts going on, vendors, of course, the farmer's market, hot air balloon rides if the wind's okay, and then horse-drawn carriage rides like last year. So there's a lot of neat stuff going on, and kind of excited to see that come together.
Okay. So, question to Mark. Okay. Thank you, Mark. Mike.
Our slope recirculation pumps have been rebuilt and are back in service and working very well. We're going to start some sludge hauling sometime this month. We get some rain, the company will come in because right now they're in the fields plan deploying. And we haven't done that since, it's been over a year since the repairs last year, so we're going to hold them out before winter. So we have adequate space during the winter time when we can't haul because the trucks will freeze up. The actuator that regulates the flow to the plant from the regulator at 12 at Radio Road had some issues where it was not functioning. It would function in a manual mode, but it would not function from the computer. Being able to control it or anything like that, it was showing a negative number. We had a repair person come in, and we found yesterday it had a bad board in it, so we replaced that board from one of our other actuators, so we have to order a board. And they've also found that it has some type of, which I was unaware of this, on the end of it where everything plugs in is a circuit protector. So they took that out of it and plugged the power line back into it, and works fine. Worked fine all day today. We monitor it. So we need to order those two parts, and then that'll be back online the way it should be. Around our facility, we have a lot of underground electrical lines, communication lines, and some of them are in a manhole. There was one that eroded away pretty good down by the river, and you could just kept getting bigger and bigger. So the guys, they actually hauled a bunch of dirt in there, filled that in, and then I had a truckload of riprap brought in, and we poured that on top of it to hopefully slow that erosion down, because it's starting to eat away the bank of the river too. And tomorrow will be the last day for our intern from Indiana University. He'll be leaving us a few days early to assist his brother moving to Florida to go to Florida State University. So he's going to leave us a few days early. So tomorrow will be his last day, and he's been a great asset this summer.
What's his name again?
Will Manis.
Okay.
And all the guys that tried to talk him into actually coming to work for us full time. Why don't you just work here? But anyway, he leaves the 21st of this month to Germany. And he'll be there until the end of December studying environmental management. And then he'll come back and finish off in Bloomington. Cool. He's been a great asset this summer. We've got a lot of projects done that was in our minds, a lot of extra things completed by having that extra set of hands. And then he's enjoyed his time there too and has learned a lot. So it worked out really well. I'm very pleased with it.
Questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Kelly?
Out of the six applicants we had for our 50-50 sidewalk program this year, we have five of them completed so far, and we have one more left. We have everything dirted, seeded, scrawled behind on the edges of the sidewalks. And got through another month of limb pickup. We had a couple guys off during that period and had to make some adjustments, but got through that. And the heavy rain we had washed out a few more alleys, so we're trying to get those back in repair with the live toppings and the stone alleys. And got a couple guys working on that. We are down on South Line Street working on the trail on the east side and the west side with the approaches, and we're going to try to get as far as we can here with the good weather. And we have a lot to dig out and get ready and form, and some adjustments to make on the east side where the trail is going to be. And wanted to thank Sean for moving the light pole that was in the way with the curve and with the sidewalk, and it just wasn't going to work very well. As well as Larry Weiss, he had some involvement in it too with the phone company. And we thought it was the electric pole, and then found out it was their pole, and they kind of worked together and got that moving forward. So I appreciate both their helps on that.
Good teamwork.
Yeah. And the cemetery, seems like spent a lot of time down there. We've had like 9 graves in the last couple of weeks. And, it takes a lot of time to get there, lay them out, dig them, dive them, and all that. So that's all I have.
Questions of Kelly?
Kelly, what's your estimate of finishing up Lane Street? You know, right now I know it's under construction and been rough, but what's your
thought? I would say estimate probably 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's probably, if everything goes good weather-wise, too. I know Mike's going to do some work on the east side of Line from Vine down to the gas station. And with digging out and getting the contractor in, it's probably going to be too much for us to do all in-house. So we're going to do what we can on the west side. And I think he's going to contract out some on the east side. That we'll be working on the trail on the east side north of Line and getting ready for midwalk. I think their timeline is the middle or end of September to get the trail in as far as paving. So,
the actual Line Street, does it go from Spencer to the tracks?
Paving, you mean?
Yeah, from Spencer to the tracks will be the paving part of it this year. We still have some curb work to do, Garcia, south of the tracks too, yet. A little bit along the east side, and then the west side gets all down to Catherine, I believe. So there's a little bit of curb work that they need to do, but they were waiting on us to get our work done. So we're trying to coordinate this with like four different people. So.
And traffic keeps flowing. So.
Yeah. And we're going to try not to really hinder too much traffic as far as shutting anything down. We'll try to work on the edge of the road. Some of them just require barricades and that type of stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Jeff?
Still waiting to hear back from the Federal Highway Administration on all of our environmental documents. The timeline tentatively is to begin purchasing or making offers on properties, the reacquisition of right-of-way and new right-of-way acquisition around the first week of September. And apparently, during the 5 weeks that I was off, we must have had a couple of rainfalls because I've been chasing a whole lot of follow-ups on problems with drainage during some of the rain events. If the board could help me and figure out how to get the intensity from 4-inch rains down to an inch, I'd really appreciate it. If you've got any ideas, it'd be great. And although I will say that people are very understanding, they recognize that our system is not equipped to be able to handle the size of rainfalls that would be less than the 3 and 4 inch sizes. The existing recently opened section of the Blue River Trail from north end of Marshes Park over to Countryside, we have DNR coming on September 26th to do their inspection. I guess there was some miscommunication. We were waiting on them and they were waiting on us. So good news is I didn't miss it while I was out. And at that point, once that's complete, then we can go ahead and finish up punch list items and do substantial and final completion for the local contractors on that. John Goetz and I have been working hard and will continue to be working the next couple of weeks on our planned illicit discharge detection and elimination audit coming up from IDEM on September 6th. And that should, I've been told it's a pretty grueling audit, so we've never done this before. Just IDEM can be intimidating. As far as community development, I've been working with Dave Sewell on the some additional information for Cambridge Crossing, the residential subdivision that will be taking place north of Wooddale. Also, I've been working with Design Collaborative on the planned improvements down at St. Paul Cross. Property at the southeast corner of Lyon and Ellsworth. And tomorrow I'll be in Carmel all day at a conference called Love Your Downtown. I think we should all love our downtown. So looking for good stuff. That's it.
Questions of Jeff? Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Tim?
Just an update on our new reserves, the three of them, they continue to do ride along with full-time officers and they're still doing their field training, so slowly they're getting their feet underneath them and learning more and more all the time. Coordinating with the Sheriff's Department and the State Police to have an active shooter training for law enforcement in October. We'd like to have that kind of be a combined training event with all of our departments, the guys that work here in Whitley County. Just a quick thanks to the guys that worked Saturday. They helped with traffic direction for a walk and the 5K down at the park. It's powwow. Today I met with the fire chief and with the EMA director, and we sat down and talked about the CNR chemical fire. Had kind of a debriefing on how that went and some things that we could do better next time. Tomorrow and Thursday, the captain and I will be with the sheriff and the chief deputy at an active shooter training, and that will be at the Fort Wayne Safety Academy. Next week, we have another handgun training and speed and accuracy drills with handguns. And then yesterday, we had five officers that received e-ticket training. And so now everyone on the department has had training with e-tickets. They all have their laptops in their cars, and they will now begin using that system. So that's it.
Good job.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Sean?
Well, we installed some conduit for a customer out in on our rural lines that wants a new three-phase primary service. We got the conduit in, wire pulled in, wire up the pole, everything, but the fuse is thrown in on that project that's been a couple weeks in the making. We've been continuing to work with RMC on a project that borders our territory line and splits through the middle of this customer's property. I have to thank RMC for working with us on this because it splits right down the middle of the property, and it's just going to be easier for us to service the territory. So we're just going to go ahead and take care of that service for them. But they've been very cooperative. As we've learned recently, we can work together, and it's gone really well. We did work with CenturyLink as well. Larry Weiss to have a pole moved, despite my best efforts to slow us down. We got the project done and completed in time. We had a couple of service upgrades. We seem to get more and more of those every week. Customers upgrade and do higher amperage services, adding on or just improving general improvements to their service. We fixed a whole line of lights that were struck by lightning last night. We got those back on today. We did have a power outage last night as well out in our rural lines due to the storm as well. They were back on fairly quickly. We had 10 temporaries this year for the powwow down at the park, reinstalled and uninstalled. That's gone from a 1 to 2 temporary event to nearly 10, or 2 to 10. So it's becoming obvious we're going to have to do something, I think, down there eventually for a permanent type of arrangement. We did replace a few of the flags hanging from the green poles downtown that were beginning to look a little weathered. We spent the day today, a couple guys were down in Whitley doing some improvements, hooking up some services, and fixing a couple problems they had down there. Shutoffs for last week, numbers were way down. They weren't until, I believe, the 6th of the month, and there were just over 40 of them. And so great work by Rosie and her girls. And I just want to make a suggestion that Mark might want to go with the pickleball to replace the shuffleboard court. So it's one of my favorites.
That's an inside joke. Thank you, Sean. Questions of Sean. Okay. Thank you for that, Sean.
You're welcome.
Terry.
I'm working on installing some new backup hardware at the MSF and at City Hall to help hopefully down the road replace some servers that we're using for storage. The one at City Hall, we help the police department store videos from their vehicles and stuff like that. They need more space to store their projects. I've been working with Sean a little bit with the mayor on a fiber project that we're going to be bringing forward to the Board of Works and Council. Rod Sibbery from Spectrum Engineering, I think, will be at the next Board of Works meeting with more information, and I'll forward the information to the Board of Works members and the council members on some of the things that we've done research on, the cost benefits, way we may save money, and how we'll increase our ability to do the business that the city needs to do. Alex, our Huntington University student, has about completed the Android app that we hope to have finished up by the end of the week, or a week to 10 days. We should have it finished and tested, so we're hoping that'll be done, so we'll have the capability to have the city app on Androids and also the Apple products. That's all I have tonight.
Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Mike?
I've been reviewing some plans for another section out of Lincoln Point for 27 lots. And then we received our state release on the storage barn facility, so I'll be getting quotes on that here in the next week and a half to bring to you. And some of my guys went to Peru last Thursday for an all-day training on different materials and equipment and everything they put on down there every year. We've got all the houses on South Line Street connected to the new main, All we have left is to disconnect the old main from the new main at the starting point there, just north of Vine Street. We'll do that tomorrow. And then the restoration will start taking place in the next week or two as soon as the concrete guy can get there to get that done. We've turned on three new services this week. And then we also have been over on North Elm Street. And we have one more house in the 200 block of North Elm to tie into the new main. And then the restoration on that block will be done before we start going any further up Elm Street. And that's everything. The plan's going fairly smooth, so that's it.
Questions of Mike? I need to give big kudos to Mike because he, through multiple ways, really has saved us a lot of money in regards to this building project. Did a really good job. So, okay. Tom?
Outside of some of the larger runs we've had this month, the CNR incident, the drive-in, BMV, things like that, we have been trying to work on getting our specs completed for new fire truck that I'm hoping to propose to the Board of Works. Next Board of Works, Rosie, I think I have it on the agenda.
A big hopefully. Board of Works agenda must be for next time.
Hopefully, I'll be seeking your approval to be able to send that out. So,
great. Questions of Tom? Okay. Thank you, Tom. Marsha? Rosie? Walter?
I did have a request. There was an accident occurred, and I talked with the chief on it out at the plaza.
That's a drive.
Yeah, it takes you to Walker Way. My question that I've asked the chief to kind of do a inquiry on is how many accidents have we had people pulling out of the plaza trying to get across to Walker Drive?
Okay, so you're talking about coming from Walgreens across to Walker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five block of North Line Street.
Yeah, so yeah. I've asked the chief to kind of look at that to see what the history is there. But we've had... You know, we know we've had several accidents there. I just don't know how many several it is. So,
I apologize if I have it tonight, but the G is on vacation, so I've got a request to get those numbers. So next meeting, I'll have them ready.
Yeah, because
that whole area is tough.
Yeah. And I'm just, you know, the individual that was in the accident saying, "Boy, is there something the city can do?" Well, I know, you know, it's been evaluated in many different ways.
Yeah.
But the suggestion was, can they just make that an entry only and then take them to the next street south to let them exit, because what's happening is when you're southbound, you're running two lanes through there, and the other party doesn't see the hidden vehicle when they're running side by side.
Okay.
And they pull out to go across Walkerway, mm-hmm. towards Walkerway. Well, there's a car in the other lane that many times they're in a blind spot. And that's what transpired in this incident.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So they're just saying maybe we could look at it to see that make it a one way in and then go out to the other south.
That's true.
Well,
is that something that the two of you guys can work on together, Kelly and Tim?
I'm not sure. Is that a state highway or is that city?
That's city.
And is that a private drive coming out of Walgreens? That's why I say I don't know what we can do and can't do, but that's the challenge.
Yeah, that would be a private drive, you know, up to Line Street, and then Line Street is ours.
Would the Board of Works, and maybe this is a question for Marsha, would the Board of Works have the opportunity or maybe the ability to say to the private developer, whoever that is, and this is, I'm just very, very preliminary here, but would we have the ability to tell this private owner, you know, you need to do this with your traffic coming out onto our road kind of a situation, or...
I would think whenever you're looking at safety, you might have a way to
encourage or okay. I guess I'm just thinking there's enough people that are talking about this intersection on both sides that maybe there's something we can do, and I don't know, and I think it brings up a great point.
I just wanted to bring it to the board's attention. There's, you know, that I did ask to see if we've had 10 wrecks or.
Well, I think if I remember the traffic count that was in that area last year, I think it was over 10,000 cars a day.
Right. And so, so when you're running south side by side each other, and you're going to turn into Walgreens, and the other car is going to go straight on south. They sometimes, if they're side by side, there's a blind spot there, so the people at Walgreens thinks it's all clear, and the next thing you know, there's a cliff.
Yep. Okay. Very good.
That's
anything,
all.
Anything else?
I can't bend one.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know, Sean and Councilwoman Penrod and myself are working in regards to Christmas lights again. As you may remember, last year we changed the pole lights. We talked about phasing this in, so we're doing some work in regards to that. Just wanted to let you know that that's taking place. Rosie and Beth, our HR director, and myself have been meeting in regards to the awards banquet for the employees and some changes to things like that. I think they're really good, responsive changes that the employees have requested. So I think we're working in regards to that. Also, just for your information, if you hear anything in the news or anything, I will be tomorrow night. I can't be at the Aquatic Task Force meeting. I had already committed to an event with Mayor Henry for the Young Leaders of Northeast Indiana, or YLNI, to have an open discussion about politics and being young and all that kind of good stuff. So, and then I also want to give a little kudos to my mother, who is the Business of the Month for the Chamber this year, or this month. So, besides
Free food.
So besides that, things are going really, really well. Jeff, I don't know if you got my message. I need to talk to you, and I need to talk to you after the meeting. And I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Dan?
Just had a great weekend.
Okay. Absolutely. Sounded great. I wasn't able to make it, but sounded really, really well. Media, have any questions? Okay. And in the audience, anybody? Hearing none, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody. We'll meet back here for council.